Welcome to Two Open Doors, the podcast that explores our power to open or close the doors of relationship with the important people in our lives. We hope you'll learn from and share your wisdom with our community. Thanks for joining us. One of the things that I've observed about the sex-positive community is that many of its members differ in significant ways from the mainstream population. That's reflected in the lifestyle preferences of these community members, as well as in how they interact with one another. We'll explore some of these differences in this episode, and we'll see that living outside the mainstream calls for the personal attribute that was the focus of our previous episode, courage. We'll also note the many benefits that are open to those who do choose to live a life that's self-examined and self-determined. We live in a society that is conservative and prescriptive in many ways. As an example, though many product marketing programs emphasize the importance of personal independence, the real goal of those programs is to get large numbers of people to buy the touted products as a means to assert personal individuality and independence. The sameness that results from the acceptance of these marketing messages results in a paradoxical reduction of individualism. Those who live outside the social mainstream practice a much more real form of individualism. That, of course, includes those who seek to live in a sex-positive way. Sex is a prominent theme in many aspects of modern life, perhaps because it's known to be an effective selling tool, yet a healthy and natural embrace of sexuality remains elusive for many. Instead, guilt and repression of sexual feelings and behavior are widespread. That in itself positions sex positivity as a minority social orientation. Not surprisingly, the various preferences that fall under the sex-positive umbrella are not well represented in our society. Those who profess to have an interest in or prior experience with polyamory seem to constitute at most 5 or so percent of the adult population. Kink is more prevalent, with somewhere between 40 and 70% of adults voicing an interest in kink fantasy, though only 20% actually engage in kink practices. Similarly, those who differ from mainstream heterosexual cisgender sexual preferences are definitely a minority. Recent surveys suggest that no more than about 7% of adults fall under the various categories that constitute LGBTQ. One might wonder why living outside the cultural mainstream is worthy of investigation. In brief, it's all about real or perceived difference and its implications. For better or for worse, we humans seem to have a strong inclination to try to fit in with those around us. Perhaps this is a sort of herd instinct. It certainly reflects the intent of a lot of social programming that's put in place by various organizations and traditions, such as churches, schools, and ethnic preferences. Such social forces promote conformity with particular ways of living that are elevated with self-serving labels such as right living or moral behavior. The implication of such descriptors is, of course, that alternative ways of living are not proper or moral, and are thus to be avoided or even repressed. Because of that, those who choose a life outside the mainstream find themselves confronted with pervasive social rejection and pressure to conform to prevailing norms. Such forces are hard to resist, hence the need for personal courage and a determination to adhere to a path that feels right for a given individual. Those who are non-binary or who are transgender are an apt, though unfortunate, example of how these coercive social forces work. Such individuals often feel ostracized, unappreciated, or even discounted and invisible. Their very identity can be denied, underscoring the importance of trying to respect the importance of identity markers such as personal pronouns. No one can know a person as well as they know themselves, with their unique insider's perspective. Yet, some members of mainstream society would presume to tell such people who they truly are. That seems to me to be both preposterous and deeply disrespectful. As someone who has been a lifelong explorer of deep human connections, I have long been accustomed to having to walk my own path. My personal interests, such as in understanding the nature of relationship and in exploring human cognitive and emotional processes, have often differed from those of my peers. Consequently, I've only rarely come across kindred spirits with whom I can share this exploration that I find so personally meaningful. This has sometimes been a lonely path for me, but staying focused on and committed to what's important to me has always felt like a matter of personal integrity. I'm sure that readers who are also committed to their own growth and personal understanding resonate with what I've experienced. If a person has opted to live in a non-traditional lifestyle, such as polyamory, they need to find ways to coexist within the mainstream society. Many who make such a choice choose to remain largely invisible, except to others who share their lifestyle. That's why the question of coming out to others can be so thorny and problematic. Given the likelihood of a negative reaction from those who live in the mainstream, exercising discretion in deciding what to share and with whom is a sensible thing to do. There's nothing to be gained in presenting a source of potential conflict when that isn't necessary. As a personal example, I've chosen to be selective in what I've shared of my own life choices, since many of my family members are very conservative and thus not open to trying to understand or accept what suits me. Unfortunately, having to edit one's personal sharing in this way has a significant downside. It undermines one's perceived integrity, and it can become a source of shame felt by the person who is unable to freely disclose who they truly are. It takes personal strength and conviction to remain true to one's personal choices, despite the possible stigma around those choices. Another way to adapt to feeling different from the social norm is to fill one's life with activities and people that we're compatible with. If we've done the hard work of trying to figure out who we truly are rather than who we're told to be by others, we probably have a good idea of what things bring us joy. For example, we may have concluded that we get pleasure from freeform ecstatic dance or from the pursuit of yoga or tantric practices. Investing our precious time in those things is likely to help make our life feel meaningful and satisfying. In contrast, focusing on popular mainstream activities that may hold little meaning for us, perhaps such as sports or shopping, is likely to leave us feeling empty or even inauthentic. The same holds true for the choice of who we spend our free time with. True friends and kindred spirits are much more likely to bring us joy than our more superficial acquaintances. Time is precious. We should strive to allocate it wisely. Community is one effective means for realizing the importance of orienting one's non-mainstream life around similar others. Communities bring together like-minded people in pursuit of activities that are of interest to that group of people. That's a powerful tool for pursuing a satisfying life, even in the midst of an unsympathetic mainstream society that doesn't share similar goals, beliefs, or interests. The Portland sex-positive community, like similar communities located elsewhere, is a good example of the power of community in supporting its members. Various Portland groups provide training that reinforces beliefs and behaviors that are important to the community. Those include an insistence upon mutual respect by members, teaching how to ensure consent in interactions between members, promoting socially equitable access to events and resources for all members, and other cornerstones of healthy sex positivity. In addition to teaching-oriented events, the community also offers numerous and varied social events and classes or workshops in which one can explore sex positivity. The resulting overall mix of events helps maintain a safe and enjoyable environment for self-exploration, growth, and the nurturing of meaningful relationships. Such a community is a much-needed resource for those who wish to explore beyond the confines of our mainstream society. To learn more about Two Open Doors and to engage with our community, I'd like to invite you to visit the Two Open Doors private Facebook group for posts and discussion, and the Two Open Doors meetup group for events. I also invite you to contact me directly by writing to me at Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, at twoopendoors.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll use your inputs to guide my work on future blog posts and podcast episodes. Thanks for visiting Two Open Doors.